Hey, we're back. It's the steering committee, kind of a different show today. We've got some snow on the ground. We're sort of back in our COVID bubbles here. We're doing this on Zoom, so it probably doesn't sound that great. But I don't think it sounds that great when we're not on Zoom.
Yeah, we're gaining a lot of safety, but not giving up that much audio quality.
So. No, I'd say that's fair.
So you mentioned the snow. I have to ask, Ryan. I saw somebody out there with their 981 generation Boxster driving this morning. Did you take your GT?
No, because that's ridiculous. I don't think for most people their Cayman is their only car, and I can't think of a car, especially a GT4, that makes less sense to drive in the snow. But you know, people will do it. I've never been one of those.
I might actually have seen one that makes less sense, actually, now that you mention it. Yeah. I also saw some version of a Mopar, probably a Dodge Charger hot rod style. Car with no hood also driving around this morning.
Right. Well, you got to keep the temperatures down. I'm guessing it being a Mopar, that might be that person's only car.
That's possible. Yeah. But it definitely was set up for it's kind of like a pro stock sort of setup with big tires on the back. Too,
yeah. You might want to look into a winter beater Mopar, man.
Maybe, or at least a hood, I guess.
Start with the hood, you know. But the big question is, did he have the yellow or pink protective plastic strip along the front air dam?
No, this is like an old classic one.
Sorry. I thought
this was like a 1969, 70 vintage.
Oh, well, that's – yeah. Okay, all right.
So that was even more interesting. But, yeah, you know, I've said, but – Yeah. You know, I pointed out that thing about the yellow protective strips on the recent Mopars to someone who's not really a car guy, and they're just like, they were just so incensed and angry about it.
Well, I love how they changed the pink, and that didn't seem to matter. I hope that fad is come and gone. Of course, I still have the protective film on my center stack, in the GT4, you know, over the on the touchscreen. I just haven't brought myself. I feel like I'll do that once the car gets the PPF on it. I feel terrible. I've got, 700 miles in that car already. I've already picked up at least one good chip on the hood. But I've been told that if I bring in the Dr. Color chip kit, that they can take care of it, fix it before the car gets detailed, the paint protection film comes on and stuff. But
Who is that told you this? That's our friend.
Denver Auto Shield. I think the car goes in on it's almost another month away. So, I don't know how much more driving to do with the weather here, but of course, it isn't supposed to be 70 tomorrow, Doug.
I'm hoping so because we're planning to do Thanksgiving dinner outside. So I'm hoping a lot of the snow melts. Yeah, well, you know, for safety reasons. Yeah. So my folks are going to come down for dinner, and I want them to be safe. So we're going to try and do it outside. So I went out and shoveled off the area we're going to be eating in, so to help it along. So
the original celebrants, I think, celebrated outside, right? You know, that's the responsible thing, Doug. And maybe you can shoot at a pheasant that runs by or something, and really
something
make it
like that. You know, one of my ancestors was at that original feast, so you know it's very appropriate. So Francis Cook is a descendant of mine, or I'm a descendant of his. So that's very appropriate.
Look at this guy.
My family had been in Massachusetts for a long time.
Shouldn't you be rich right now or something? Shouldn't you be
I should definitely be
you are. I don't know. Maybe this is all a ruse.
No, I think I'd be driving around in something a little bit better than a 2005 Toyota Sequoia that barely works if I was really wealthy.
Did you ever get that car put back together, Doug?
No, it's still in its presence. It's still in the same state I left it in. I got to the point where I couldn't get I got stuck on a couple bolts, which is apparently a common problem when you try and do this stuff yourself, especially if it's been serviced by a dealership for a long time, because they basically just I was reading about this. They just take, pneumatic wrenches and just screw everything down way too tight. So
this is why you have to be so careful where you take your car, even for new tires, because they can jack up those wheels so easily, soft alloy wheels or whatever, when they use a wrench like that. But this makes me think of a business idea, and tell me if this is terrible, but you're not the only one I know that currently has an inoperable quote unquote project car in their driveway right now. I say we come up with a company where it's like a mobile strike force. We come and we finish your project cars for you. I think that's a TV show too.
There
right?
is a TV show. Yeah, it's, I think it's called.
Is that the Garage Squad?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. Yeah. But you want to set it up as a business, right? Because they're only dealing with like, you know, 12 cars a year. We need to
right.
We need to help everybody else out. I know. I was actually thinking of something similar too. Yeah, you need a. It's like AAA, but for like project cars that have gotten out of control, you know?
Well, I'm open to any career opportunity right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll cut that out. it's been a rough few weeks for me at work. I don't know about you, but everyone needs something before Thanksgiving. So
yeah, no, it hasn't been rough for me. I could be busier, so I'm open for a
steering committee. We need to get you a billboard, Doug.
Yeah, yeah, on a bus or a bus stop bench, basically. Yeah.
The biggest, fattest, most conspicuous billboard we can find. Let's be the next Frank Azar. Frank Azar is sort of our local. Who's the guy from Breaking Bad and Saul? He's kind of our local Saul Goodman now.
He's our Saul. Yeah, Saul Goodman. Yeah, he's he's the strong arm.
He's more successful. Strong arm. Yeah.
Bank, and then there's Bankers and Shankus, I think, is another big one you see. That's all injury, all personal injuries.
Don't you all hang out at the lawyer bar,
Yes, we do. Yeah. I hang out there with all, that's where all the decisions are made. It's all the Mayflower descendants and all the attorneys. We make all the decisions.
The real elite of the Denver Metro.
Of course. Well, yeah, we're the ones that fix all the elections and everything. So.
Well, you barely did a good job this year, Doug.
It depends.
Yeah, cheat harder next time.
Yeah, we'll try. We kind of mailed it in this year. So,
and I should say you're drinking a beer there, son, and it's look at that. Is that a Brews Beers?
Unfortunately not. The Brews Beers are so delicious. I've unfortunately drank all of the Brews Beers that I have. So again, check out our friends at Brews Beers. They make badass Belgian beers.
Yeah. And in fact, I need to check them out because I haven't had any in my own refrigerator for a while. So I think I need to. Well, is it bad form if I just come by and say free beer, please?
Yeah, we should at least we'll work with them and see if we can get another. If we can restock our supplies, but no, I'm having a for the audience at home, I like to have a beer while we podcast. Yeah. And today I'm having a just a standard Mama's little yellow pills from.
That comes out of the faucets here in Colorado. I don't know if
it's not even really drinking. It's just hydrating. So. But I figured I'm kind of starting my Thanksgiving weekend early. What can I say?
Yeah, you should.
I don't know of anyone that's traveling this year. So we
have smart friends and family. I think a smart listenership, you know, so which is why we're recording this at 2 p.m. and not, 9 p.m. And that's listeners. That's because two nights ago you were just, I think, beat. And last night I was beat. So that's why we're talking here at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And sometimes I think the best versions of us are with a few bourbons, but after a few bourbons.
we'll muddle through somehow today.
I know we want to talk about, there's a big exciting.
Some car exciting news out of Japan. As everyone probably knows, there's some new packages available for the Honda Odyssey minivan, and that's what everybody's talking about right now.
They finally stopped putting the 17 and a half inch tire on this.
They have a new captain's chair option that only is available on the the EX version. I'm just kidding. We don't care. What we're really excited about, and I guess being the house, the resident sort of Subaru fan of the two of us, is the new BRZ that came out. It was announced. Did you watch the live update on that?
I did not because work has been all consuming, but I've seen pictures. So the new BRZ, and it's only the BRZ that's been announced, right? I mean, there's no Toyota version. There's no the Scion version. I'm still waiting on, but
I wouldn't hold your breath on that. The agreement that they have, in terms of continuing this to a second generation is that Toyota was on board. They've just been oddly very they've been radio silent on it. You haven't heard it. Everyone knows it's coming, but they just So Subaru got to, obviously for whatever reason, they got to release theirs first. They've been teasing it. There's been little shots here and there on social media. People have seen, I've seen pictures before this of the fully camouflaged car driving around. And I have to say, I'm relieved, okay? Because, you know,
a lot of speculation with this car.
A lot of speculation, yeah. And I'll get to the, we'll get to the specs in a sec. But just from a cosmetic standpoint, my only hope was just that it, I just didn't want it to be ugly. I would, I'd be, if it drove like the old one, I would be willing to put up with a lot.
Shoot for the stars.
Well, you know, Subaru has let me down in the past. I'll be honest. Yeah. I was a big fan of the previous three generations ago. WRX that was only available in Europe and Japan.
Yeah.
And when I heard that they were bringing it to the United States, I was excited until I actually saw it, which I don't know. We're going back to the 2002 Bug-Eye style WRX Impreza, which took a long time to get used to. I appreciate them now more, but when they first came out, I was like, oh my God, why did they do this?
Wait, the very first one? So the one after the sort of rectangle head-lighted? You're talking about the first sort of mass market WRX?
It was the first WRX available in the United States. So
it was 2.5 WRX, RS, but that wasn't
WRX. They had the Impreza. Yeah, they had the Impreza in the United States, and I think you had a generation of this. So that's like anywhere from the mid to late 90s. You know, yeah, like the
Of course, ours was not the 2.5 RS, but
yeah, that was the hottest official version they made here. But you know, I thought that was a good looking car. It was definitely very like I would say very, you know, 80s/90s, but like there was nothing wrong with it. It wasn't an ugly car.
No.
The Bug-Eye, I never think of it as a good looking car. I've just gotten used to it and I kind of like them, but like not because they're good looking though.
And that car's now 20 what years old? 20?
Yeah, 2002.
So okay, so 19 years old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, are my maths.
Yeah, math. Okay. Well, I'm an attorney, so I don't really do math, but it sounds about right. So, but you know, so that was, I was literally just hoping for something, you know, slightly less than that, you know, just as long as it just wasn't ugly looking, because as long as it drives as well as it used to, then I think it's fine. I mean, I think I would consider it, but I was pleasantly surprised. I think it's a good looking car. I agree with most people. There's definitely, you look at it, it looks like a, I think there's some infinity I can see in it overall.
Well, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think some of the higher level infinities aren't bad.
It's the G20.
What's that?
So I was joking, but I said infinity hasn't made a good looking car since the G20.
Well, I would argue again, they're not necessarily making good looking cars, but at least they're not making ugly cars. Maybe I'm giving them a wide berth here.
First gen Q45. Oh, and then there was that M50 that I was always intrigued with.
Yeah.
That sort of slab sided.
You're talking about the stuff from like the 90s
M45,
and early
45. That's what it is. Yeah, the M45. Yeah. Then it got ugly. Then it turned into this sort of.
Well, that, yeah, jelly. That M45 thing was so out of left field. I mean, it looks so unique still to this day. It looked like a futuristic muscle car, you know?
Bright spot in an otherwise spare design landscape for Infiniti. But anyway, back to the car.
Back to the BRZ. Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely some, you know, a lot of people see, you know, Lexus, you know, RC, you know, in it, like a scaled down version of that. You know, some comparisons to Acura, you pointed out the front end looks a lot, you know, maybe even, you know, Porsche Cayman-ish, which is not bad. It's a good looking car. I love that they're building a built-in integrated spoiler, not one that's tacked on. I like that a lot.
Is the 86 crowd is aging and the.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like they're
my garage.
Anyone that bought one in 2013 is now, they're entering their mid 30s at least. so they might be dads, you know, twice over now. So now they need a built-in spoiler, not a racer, street racer type thing. Yeah, yeah. So it's a little more adult. It's funny though. I think. Tell me what you think. The car is actually lower than the one it replaces.
Yeah.
But I think it actually looks visibly taller.
I think I noticed that gap, you know, and it's funny because when they announce a car, they usually show either the very best model or they show, you know, it's a mule or whatever, right? So it's not, yeah, this one sits a little high. I'm sure it's a full production car. I mean, I always thought that about my Cayman, though, too. It really wasn't until I got the GT4 that it really had that sort of stance that we all sort of like. It's something that always bothered me about the 718. Of course, I wasn't scraping the front end on that car nearly as often. But I noticed that, too. And I think it's sort of a blank slate, right, for tuners. And, you know, I think that you know, they don't want that. They want to have some room for people to do some things to it, right? So that's my theory of why it's you know, still sits a little high.
I think you're probably right on that. Is that they want to leave a lot of room for tuning here. I'm looking at it right now again, and it just, I think it looks good. It's just, it looks a little high, but I think that's probably, you know, I like that it's the same size.
Most of the guys' rides will be a little high, Doug, so it's all good.
It's true. Yeah. Well, I got to get the new one so that it's not, I know it's not vaped in. I think the front, if I'm being at all critical, I'd say the front maybe is a little bit busy for me. It's not bad though. It's certainly not a problem. And I know the interior looks, I think the interior looks really cleaned up. I mean, it looks like higher quality.
You know, some controversy around getting rid of that triangular backup fog light thing, right? Mm-hmm. They've gone to, a center strip or whatever.
I've heard that. I don't know. If it had survived for two different generations, then you could start to call it like a styling sort of element of the BRZ. But
yeah.
I don't know. I don't miss it at all. It still has, a little taillight down there, but it's not triangle. It's like a strip with like, you know, white, red, white along the bottom. Yeah, I mean, the back of this looks really good, I think. I mean, it looks like it's a step up in sort of like quality. It's expected to be around the same price, you know, with inflation, but like, it looks like a higher quality piece of equipment, I think.
I think so too. And come on, it's built to a price point too. You can't put 20-inch wheels on it. You can't, you know, it's not going to have, you know, Ohlins, you know, suspension or whatever. These things just are not going to happen at, what is it, a $28,000 start?
Probably. I mean, and when it's all said and done, I bet it's going to be 29 to like 34 is what
it will be. Right. Talking about, There's no 59999, you know, Cayman out there new, right? You know, I mean, it's no car sells for, every car has an option on it, right? I mean, it's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's hard to, you can't find, I mean, yours was one of the closest to a zero option car as you're probably going to ever find. So, but they did upgrade the spin. Oh, sorry, what's that?
So, which I was reminded of at trade-in time.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, by the way, my old car, my buddy Travis Fodge at Porsche Colorado Springs has informed me that my car was bought by someone out of Kansas City. You know, I left a big stack of records and all that. So I'm curious to see if this person eventually reaches out, or he hears about the podcast, or she hears about the podcast and decides to reach out. So if you happen to be the one who bought my car and are listening, please reach out. Although, Doug, we threw out the wrong email address in the last.
It's possible we threw out the wrong email address.
So let's give the right one, the correct one now, with the caveat that
we had this email address down the road. Like the email, if you're getting this, and I'll check it for a while anyways, even after we update it. Yeah. But if you'd like to reach out to us, our email is thesteeringcommitteeemail@gmail.com.
Yeah, we tried to use every letter in the alphabet.
I don't know. Maybe when I tried to set up before, maybe there was already a steering committee.
That's true. So for now, use that. If you want a T-shirt, let us know. If you bought my old car, let us know.
Please. And I'm, my family goes through Kansas City all the time, so we can maybe even link up and get some photos of you with the new car. I mean, it's. Whoever purchased it, though, I think is going to be very pleased.
I think so. And I have mixed feelings, because if it were local, it would have been fun to have seen it around. But I always had these anxiety nightmares of, yeah, I'll see the car and it'll be, you know, slammed on, you know, it'll be ruined or something. And so I just hope that it's a good, responsible adult enthusiast who is now driving it. And and truth be told, I've kind of moved on at this point. been having a lot of fun in the GT4. But
I was going to say, at least that makes the heartache go away.
What's that?
I mean, having access to a GT4 now must make it a little bit easier.
It does. It's like, it was a bit of an upgrade. But come back to the BRZ, because the one
I did want to mention that they're doing a big upgrade on tires, though, at least on the limited model. Yeah. It's getting Michelin Pilot Sport 4 summer tires.
Okay. So
18-inch wheels, which is not bad.
I believe the 4s are different from the 4Ss. I want to say these are a little more all season ish maybe or something, but I have no doubt they'll be fantastic.
Well, and it's a huge upgrade over the Prius, the Prius tires that were on the original one. So
yeah, which you know we've talked about before. You know, I thought that was kind of it's I think the reasoning there was sort of the same reasoning behind the Porsche break-in period, right? It's like ease into this, right? Yeah. I mean
I think they want. I think they wanted to emphasize how lively the chassis was, yeah. But it truly didn't have a lot of power. So
but you also want to stay on the road, Doug.
No, I know, but I mean, but the best way to I guess overcome that would be to give it these really low resistant tires. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like have you ever seen old pictures of people who used to on front wheel drive cars, if they put like trays on the back cars on the back wheels, they could slide the thing around like a. Have you ever seen anyone do something?
No, but there's snow on the ground today, Doug. Thinking what I think.
Well, yeah, you could do it without that today. I still have the summer tires on the Legacy right now. I bet that would probably slide around pretty bad right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll come back to the power in this car, because there was a lot of speculation. Yeah. The cargo turbo, supercharged.
Yeah. I'm glad. So they went with a more powerful naturally aspirated engine, and I'm happy about that, actually. I'm very happy.
Yeah. I'm kind of back to the appreciation of the NA motors, even here in Denver. Unless you're dealing with a really low powered car, the atmospheric power loss is noticeable, but it's I don't know that it's worth the trade off that I once thought it was. I think I'm glad to see this keep its rear wheel drive, its NA motor, although it'd be really, really cool to see an all wheel drive turbo version of this car someday, just like sort of a rally car version. I don't know. I just think it would be a neat option.
I'd like to see, not necessarily all wheel drive, but I would love to see a rally version of this car in general. I think rear wheel drive rally cars should make a comeback, but that's me.
Can you safari it, Doug?
You can safari anything, my friend.
I've never seen a Safari 86.
No, actually, now that I think about it, I don't think I have either.
Rothman's livery,
Yeah, no, that would be well for Subaru. They already have their own iconic rally livery in house.
That's true.
They have the 555 blue and gold livery. So what they've done. They've increased the displacement. It's to 2.4 liters. They're stating now 228 horsepower at 7,000 RPM, 184 pounds per feet of torque at 3,700 RPM, which should make a big difference with the major complaint with the current one, which is the lack of power in general, but more importantly that torque dip that you had really in the meat of it.
It seemed like a less powerful car.
It seemed even less power. I mean, it seemed less powerful than even the 156 pounds per feet it was advertised at.
What was the 0-60 time and a quarter mile time of like the most recent old 86?
Don't remember off the top of my head, and my computer is failing me right now. I can't scroll.
My mouse has
disappeared, so I'm stuck here where I am at the moment. But
yeah.
I want to say it was in the 7.5 to 8 second range. I mean, you weren't winning any drag races with it. I mean, it was the car was all about basically all about handling, really.
Yeah, so, and it felt slower. And I love the car, but it felt slower than it was, and that's a problem.
Yeah,
maybe that's a sign of a good car.
I think what the lack of engine and power did was highlight how great the chassis was, really.
Yeah,
and the chassis is. I mean, it's arguably one of the all time greats, especially built at that price point. I mean, by that price point, it's phenomenal.
You feel that driving those cars. You feel like this is great, but it could be so much better. In a way, it hits you in a way that I haven't really experienced in any other car it's a weird sort of compliment. Right. But I'm trying to find an analogy to that basically, but it's like,
That's interesting. I mean, I wonder what would be, you know, the list of all-time great, like, yeah, underpowered great chassis, you know?
Yeah. I
mean,
well, I think probably the last generation base Cayman was like that, or you know, especially some of the earlier Caymans and Boxsters, right? That, you know, only yeah. had 200 horsepower, you know, a little more.
I guess I would say, yeah, I would say probably your first Boxsters, maybe, yes. By the time I think they get to the Cayman, I wouldn't argue that the base versions of that are underpowered.
No.
I think they're adequately powered.
No, but unlike now, where the base and the S Caymans and Boxsters are like a third of a second different in, you know, 0 to 60, maybe 0.2 in the quarter mile. Those yeah. early ones were very different from one another, right? I mean, there was a big difference between a base and an S beyond just the, you know, larger brakes or whatever. I mean, if I recall correctly, the S would shave off at least a couple full seconds off the 0 to 60 time in some of those cases. And now it's, you know, it's negligible, but,
But, well, I think it was like, wasn't it a different, it was like 265 versus like 298. I mean, right. It was like a 30.
I don't know, but the number, well, of course there's also the issue of the 5-speed versus the 6-speed, which probably, you know, exaggerated that difference a little bit too. But no, I think that this car, I mean, I don't think anyone's gonna be blown away by this new car's power, but I think it'll be, I think it's enough. And I think along with probably other improvements, tires and things, I think it'll seem like a real step up.
I think so too. I mean, and I think what's the one thing I was a little concerned, the second thing I was concerned about, you know, beyond the looks was, you know, I didn't want them to really mess with that chassis too much. I think they're doing it right. It's basically like a heavy overhaul of the original chassis. So, you know, a significant increase in stiffness, you know, but hopefully keeping that sort of lively, you know, fun, you know, feel to it that really was like the best defining quality of the original. So, you know, and it's, you know, so if they give, I always thought like that car, it was perfect somewhere between 230 and 250 horsepower. And
now here they are.
So, yeah.
Do you think though, that either Subaru will come out with sort of a, if you want to call it the M version or the GT version or whatever.
It would be like an STI.
With a more powerful version.
Well, so for Subaru, they would just do STI version of it. That's kind of like their performance. So, yeah.
They never did in the old one.
I don't know. And, you know, it's funny that they never, even like in the... You would have thought somewhere in the second half of the first gen, which first came in 2013, so that had a pretty long, you know, production life, and people were clamoring for it, and they never did it. They almost seemed to take this stance of they offered an STI package and they offered a TS package. They were really expensive, both of them. Basically, just doubling down on handling improvements, which was like kind of funny because it's like, well, you didn't really need to change that at all.
that is
it handled so well out of the box. They never did a powerful version of it. They did the last version of that car was basically offering, I think, 5 more horsepower than the original, just through some minor tweaks to the to the manifolds and stuff. Yeah. So I don't think so, because I've heard them enough people say that, you know, it will add a tremendous amount of cost to the car, which is surprising because, you know, they have these turbos sitting around in other cars. The engine that was in the BRZ, the original one, is the same block as what's in the current WRX.
Well,
and it is turbocharged. So,
yeah. Well, of course, Toyota has the additional consideration now of, you know, the base, Supra, which is still quite a bit more expensive, but
I think
they don't want to approach, you know, it's the whole game
even less
complex,
chance,
right?
There's even less chance that Toyota will do it because, yeah, then they're, the 4-cylinder Supra starts at around 41,000, which, you know, if you assume that this, you know, new GT86 car will be about the same as the old one in price, if you add a turbo kit onto it and add more power, you're probably at like 35, 37 really easily. I mean, really quickly. And then you're basically like, you know, why are we splitting the difference here? It's hard enough for companies to sell the sports cars that they do make. It's like, we don't need to make like 5 different versions of it. So I don't know. And I also think Subaru won't, it's kind of like, you know, the WRX is still one of their, you know, highest, selling platforms. You know, they still, it's a very successful platform. It's almost like It's kind of like what Porsche does sometimes with the Cayman, where they don't let it really off the leash fully because they don't want it to eat into 911 sales.
And 86 is a superior chassis, so
it is. I mean, if you gave it the same horsepower, it would punch way out of its weight class. Yeah. I mean, it basically already does anyways, but it would be up there fighting with it. If that car had 300 horsepower, I think it would be up there performance wise. I think it would be in the same territory as your base Caymans, your Boxsters, and your Supras. I think it won't be there in terms of necessarily as quality of material on the inside and stuff, but I mean, just from a performance standpoint though, you know, it would be there, I think.
Yeah.
So
this is get your eyes on this prize here moving forward.
I do. I really do like it. I think it could pair nicely too. I don't think these cars have a lot in common in general, but you know, the GT4 and the BRZ are kind of like two different drivers' cars at different price points. You know?
Yeah. No, I look forward much forward to driving one, to seeing you buy one. I know you've been on the configurator. Or is the configurator even?
Now, if it's up, I don't know about it. Okay. I haven't been on it yet. Unfortunately, they don't expect these cars to be on lots until next fall. So.
Well, okay. Well, you got some time, but I think you should go silver with black wheels. I think that's the look.
The silver one. I did. So we've only seen pictures of silver and blue. The silver I thought looked fantastic. Yeah, I love that. Yeah,
right. I'm in it.
I'll do that. Black wheels or gunmetal gray, maybe, if it's an option. We'll see.
Yeah.
Once the configurator is up, we'll play with that. How about that? So.
Oh yeah, you're gonna burn that thing out. I know you are. I mean, I know how much I was on the GT4 configurator. I mean, they probably looked at like this guy again.
No, you know what? It's actually, you were on it so much they've changed the smokers package now. Actually, just to the Barkey package.
That's right. That's right. Hey, you know what? I think we started something there because I was watching. I think it was the car guys, the two British guys that. Mm-hmm. That have a shockingly robust garage at their disposal.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
And I watched mostly because the one guy bought a new Spider, which is, you know, very close to a GT4, and he's done some interesting mods. Like he's put brown leather seats in, which actually looks pretty good. He's put big, you know, number gumball on it. I think it actually looks pretty good. But I don't know what I was going to. My segue.
Well, I agree with you. I like the seats, although he says he gets a lot of criticism on the seats. I thought the seats are great. I don't like the gumball, but I understand why.
If I loved it so much, I would do it on my own car. But they spent about 5 minutes on one of these recent, like, this is, you got to do the smokers package. And it used to be kind of like half and half the cars you'd see dealer ordered or whatever. Now it feels like they almost all have them.
I feel like I've barely seen one that doesn't have it now.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, why, you know, yeah, it just looks cleaner and we've been talking. Do you want to take a break and come back?
Yeah, let's take a quick break.
Okay. Well, we're back. And there's still snow on the ground. This is all about 3 seconds later, but
it
all important commercial break.
Exactly. Magic of podcast editing. Well, you won't know that. So
no. Yeah. And my podcast editing is nothing if not magic, Doug. But before it snowed, I did get my the GT4 out a couple of times. And I'll admit the last time I had it out was a very boring, lame drive. Although I did get a wave from a new 992 turbo in white. That was you. Hey. But last weekend, I had the, and you know, people start, texting as soon as the podcasting records, because we're doing this on Zoom, I can't turn off the volume. So if you hear a bunch of beeps, that's my buddy, Chicago, I did take this car out
to start texting you right now just to make it ding again. But
I know he probably knows where. I had the most epic drive. I had one of the best drives I've had in a long time, and certainly the best drive I've had in the GT4 since I acquired it. Still don't have the paint protection film or anything, so I've been very careful or tried to be very careful. But did make it up to my old, you know, the old standby Golden Gate Canyon, and. It's hard, gosh, anymore now with, you know, coronavirus and just everyone's clogging these canyons in a way because they're the routes to our parks. And now we're at the time of the year where you can't get up early because the ground's frozen. And probably done with the amazing drives now until next spring. But I had a couple of nice runs and There was a the most beautiful Ferrari 360 I think I've ever seen. It was just really super clean and was a really great color, kind of a ruby red. And you asked me which Ferrari red, and I think, and I sent you the link to the 15 Ferrari reds. And we're not even talking paint to sample; these are just, you know, the 15
the regular factory options
produced. Yeah. But, you know, you can't really tell when you're online, and you know the colors and stuff. But this just suited. And I don't. As a rule, I'm not a big red guy, and I'm really not a maroon color car guy. I flash back to like 1990s Pontiacs or whatever. But although I am secretly a fan of the late 80s, I think it was 88, 89, 90 Pontiac SSCI. but that's another story.
The Bonneville, the Pontiac Bonneville SSCI.
That was full Pontiac performance. I mean, you had the graphic equalizer, you had the gold wheels and the gold, anyway, but this Ferrari 360 was absolutely gorgeous. And, hell, those cars, you know, 20 years old now, and he put up a good show. You know, GT4, 20 years newer, I think was, you know, the quicker car, but it was, you know, of course, I've got a lot of driver aids and things helping me. So all things considered, good driver, beautiful car, and it was really fun to mix it up with this guy. We stopped. He told me about an exotic car group that he drives with, and I don't remember the name of it. I told him about the podcast. So Ferrari 360 driver, if you're listening. It was fun driving with you. It's a beautiful car and nice driving. And it was a lot of fun. People get out of your way when there's a Ferrari and a GT4 behind them. The seas tend to part in a way that they, you know, don't when it's just you, you know. Beautiful car. And, again, in a color I had never seen, and it suited the car beautifully. And it really, you know, maybe the 430 people prefer, it's a little more expensive or whatever, but I can't imagine a 430, looking as, nice as this 360 did in the Canons. It just looked right. Sounded great. All the other things you want from a Ferrari, right? There's also a sport biker that, the Canyon gets a lot of sport bikers, and generally I think we all have a pretty good, you know, relationship. But these sport bikers, what they like to do is, you're in a car, there aren't too many passing zones, so you're stuck behind someone. They like to get right up on your ass and then split the lane and then sit right in front of you, because, you know, they can pass a lot more easily than those of us in cars can. And there was a guy out there, you know, of course, all in fun, but seemed very serious, had all the gear, big sport bike, I think it was the Suzuki. Of course he was on my tail. I couldn't go anywhere. He passed me, you know, still couldn't go anywhere. And then, you know, gave me the nice, you know, off the gas, a pop. And so it was all very satisfying when I then could pass the car that I was behind and caught up with this motorcycle pretty easily in the GT4. So, that car is pretty amazing. This guy was, you know, dragging his knees and everything else. Not only could he not shake me in that car, but I mean, it wasn't even close. So it was nice and satisfying. Cause I feel like when he passed me, he gave me that exhaust, you know, crack. It was sort of like a middle finger. And of course, but then when he turned around to pass, you know, I passed him again. I gave him a wave or a thumbs up, and it's like he couldn't even see me. It was kind of funny. But moments like that make sports car ownership worth it, right?
Well, I'll have to take your word for it. But yeah, I can imagine.
Stories are true, Doug. I promise. Yeah.
I've been invited to any exotic car clubs yet. So,
of course, there's an argument that the GT4 or any Porsche, you know, maybe short of a Carrera GT or a 918 isn't an exotic. But it was a fun drive, and you know. I used to run the GoPro every time I would go out, and inevitably I'd have like just hours of very boring footage. Generally speaking, automotive GoPro footage, unless you're Ken Block or something, even if you're doing something amazing, it just doesn't translate. And I think that's why, you know, especially like the early Top Gear shows were so brilliant, because they really made video of cars driving around exciting, right? I mean, it was...
They had such high production quality that, it was, you know...
Right, which I don't...
Hollywood cinematographer quality, you know, videos.
But this is one of the few days I really regretted not having that camera. Between the 360 and the sport bike, it was a fun day in the canyons. I was telling you, I wish there was a place, and we're big fans of Spike's Car Radio, Spike and Zuckerman, and listen to that. At least for me, I think that's probably my favorite automotive podcast currently. It's once a week. It's quick. It's funny. I like all the rich guy stories and the Seinfeld stories, but they always talk about, you know, there are a handful of places, in the California canyons where some of them, you know, I think date back to the 50s, some are newer, but there are several places where, you know, you can go and you can go up for a drive, an A-to-A drive, stop halfway, have breakfast, have a, you know, coffee or whatever. And there's sort of these car, you know, impromptu car meetups. And we don't have, I know we don't have the car culture here like California does, just the ingrained, the sort of, you know, over time earned car culture. But gosh, I wish we had something like that where, you know, I don't know if you're an entrepreneur in the area. I mean, I think the car scene here is growing, don't you? I mean,
What I would say is that you're right. We're not quite like Southern California is, there's nothing quite like Southern California.
No.
Really the mecca of car culture in America. Sure. But like I think Colorado is getting better. It's certainly better than New England, I would say. I would argue.
Oh yeah. Well, the roads are great. Maybe not California, but they're better than most of the countries. The road condition is good.
Yeah. We have a long driving season. I mean, we can drive like you just proved, you can drive late into November here. There's a nice long spring and a nice, you know, nice summer, and there's great roads within a bit next to a major metropolis city. So
right.
There's people with means, and they have nice cars. Well, and
it is nice because when I do see these cars, you know, we joke all the time about these cars that you only see them at the mall or in the, you know, the nice shopping area, Cherry Creek. But I am starting to see some more cars out. It was so great to see this guy, you know, thrashing a 360, you know. Mm-hmm. I want to see more of that. And to your point, people, there are, you know, a lot of new people here, a lot of people. I mean, you see some crazy cars here. Not always in the canyons, but I feel like, God, it would be so cool to have a.
But I think you're talking about, there's that seafood place that's on the.
It's called Neptune's Net. And then there's what's the
there's another one, I think that's
the, I think Malibu, it's called Deli or whatever, that Spike always talks about. And
I think it's called Bill's Kitchen or
Bill's Kitchen. I wish we had some places like that here. And I feel like there's nothing that I know of, you know, and it'd be nice to have that. As it is, I'm always sort of afraid to stop somewhere when I'm driving by myself, because I'm convinced, you know, some family in a minivan will come by and give me a piece of their mind about my driving or whatever. It would just be nice to have a little like respite, a little, a little oasis like that. So I don't know, maybe we'll get there, but we have all the elements of a car culture, but we don't have that. I don't know, that social aspect or whatever. I mean, it's.
There was a really good Cars and Coffee up in Lafayette, which is, you know, outside of kind of a little closer to Boulder, but it was a great Cars and Coffees.
I never really have. Walking around the cars make me nervous. The kids with their skateboards, the dogs, the coffees,
In your case, I mean, what we should do is, if it, you know, we should just take your Tiguan, or we can take my car to it. I don't care what happens.
I'm the guy that parks the Tiguan out at the end of the parking lot. You know?
All right, well, we'll take my car then. We'll take my car. So at least you're not worried about that part. But I understand that's not really your thing, where you like to get out and drive. But still, I mean, I don't know. I like seeing some. There were some exotic and expensive hardware at these Cars and Coffees.
Yeah, I mean, believe it.
You know, the all wheel drive, you know, Rambo Lambo. It was the first time I've ever seen one of those in real life.
I've seen one in the flesh, and I've seen a lot of rare cars in the flesh.
That one's super hard to find. Yeah,
that's a cool spot.
There was an old like 60s super Leggero Aston Martin like racing car. I mean, that thing was, you know, that had to be $300,000 or $400,000. These are just some of my hazy memories now from over like 2.5 years ago. But I mean, just fantastic stuff. I mean, whatever was new was out there. So that was the first time I saw the 987 GT or 981 GT4, the 2016.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, it's like. is basically as soon as they were available in Colorado, like the next week, there was one of those out there. And, you know, the Alfa Romeo 4C, when that first came out, that, I mean, like, you know, just whatever was new and hot was always there. So, and lots of classic stuff, lots of great stuff.
Yeah, just, I don't know. It just makes me nervous. Even when I, you know, my fuel factory in Wisconsin, I missed the drive this year for the first time, basically ever since I've been involved with the group, but it was an abbreviated drive this year. It was a 1-day thing, and it just didn't make sense for me to drive 14 hours or 16 hours to drive for three or whatever, and not be able to, you know, go to the supper club and all the things that, you know, that make it such a good trip. But I just completely lost my train.
I think the point is that there's tons of good cars here in Colorado. Well,
yeah. Okay.
We need to get organized on the same page.
Right. What I was going to say was, we would drive with that group, like after every section, we have to stop and like socialize. And I'm always like itching just to get back in the car. I feel like I don't have a lot of free time. The free time that I have, I just want to drive, you know. But that's why I have 750 miles on the GT4 already.
To our audience, if we were ever going to arrange a steering committee drive, it would be if Ryan's in charge, it'll basically be no stops, just keep going, keep driving, fill up the car again. Stop.
Why
talking.
Haven't we done that? Why haven't we have enough people listening now?
Don't come over and talk to me. I got to get driving again.
What's that?
You're just like, don't come talk to me during this drive.
No. Well, you know, I take the driving very seriously. You know. I don't ever listen. I don't ever have the radio on or anything like that. You know, I've got my Waze on, my radar detector, and, you know, laser focus. But I think we should totally organize. It probably have to be in the spring now, but it'd be so much fun to have a drive together. And you don't have to have a, you know, you don't have to have a Lamborghini or whatever. If you've got a, you know, a cool,
Subaru station wagon, you're okay with me. So
what's that?
If you have an old Subaru station wagon, you're fine with me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You're among friends. Let's say that. Yeah. So we should talk about that. I mean, look, you know, gosh, we've got some great roads here and I'm sure there's some roads I still don't know about. I'm sure I know about some roads some others don't. I think it would be a lot of fun and keep it small, keep it kind of under the radar, no pun intended.
Well, we're going up to the mountains this weekend. I'm going to explore some roads in around Eagle, Colorado. So I'll do some recon up there. So I'm not sure how we got on this tangent, but I think this is a good one though. We should try and strengthen the Colorado car community.
Those are my car tales for the last couple of weeks. That was just one of the best drives I've had in a long time because it had, you know, it's so fun driving with someone else, right? Either seeing them behind you or being behind them. Yeah. Just seeing the car move and hearing the car. It's just nice to see someone, you know, like I said, tossing around a nice car like that and really, you know.
What's your tip? Because I went for a drive a few weekends back and I got up pretty early and I still hit traffic. Did you hit traffic? I know you said on your last run you definitely did, but the one where you were running with the sport bike and the Ferrari.
We got really lucky. We also had multiple cars pull off for us.
God.
Which helped. That doesn't always happen when it's just one or whatever. I've also noticed that if you have one car in front of you, oftentimes they will pull off. But if there are two or more cars, they hardly ever will. And you could be in, you know, a Lamborghini LM002, you know, that you were talking about. You could be in the most aggressive car, but there's this sort of agreement that has to take place where and no one wants to give, right? One car, you know, they feel like they're not giving up too much. But then, you know, if they pull over and the car in front or behind doesn't, they feel like they've, you know, somehow lost the game. But
I was having trouble just by myself. And again, maybe it's because I don't look like I'm in anything special. But like I couldn't get there was one poor. I mean, I was going through. He was going 20 miles an hour.
I know there's a lot of that. Oftentimes with out-of-state plates too. And the reason that we love Golden Gate Canyon, it's a great road, but it's also the reason that it's a busy road. It's right next to Golden, which is right next to Denver. I go there because it's the closest good road for me that isn't always clogged with traffic or whatever. Of course, there's a lot of sand the last couple of times too, but I think it's worse than it was since COVID just because I think more people are – but a lot of people seem to have extra free time right now. I'm working harder than I ever have. I think a lot of other people are too, but I think there's a contingent of people maybe who are out of work or whatever. The parks are free entertainment. It's exercise. Lord knows I should be out there doing more of that kind of stuff too. But it brings me back to something I was going to talk to you about too, where, you know, I feel like with the new GT4 especially, I want to try to keep the miles down a little bit. And I, you know, rolling the dice with a place like Golden Gate Canyon, sometimes you have these great epic drives, but, you know, that's probably one out of every four or five attempts, and the others you sort of don't ever really get to open it up and you end up coming back. I really want to take fewer but higher quality journeys in that car. You know, where instead of, you know, five trips of 100 miles or whatever, like, you know, let's do one 500 mile trip in a month or something, and let's go drive some of these roads, like near the area when we were on the Automobili Rally, you know, Paonia,
Carbondale, over McClure Pass, that kind of stuff.
It's, you know, and it's funny though too. I talked about, you know, we talked about wanting to get a group drive together, but it's such a liability to really. I really feel like you have to know and trust the people you're driving with. I am so nervous about just driving with strangers or whatever, because there is this sort of implied, you know, like you're all in this together, even if you don't know each other, right? Like we've all been driving with a friend or whatever, and you get pulled over and, like, you know, the cops, I don't know what happened to your buddy or whatever. And, you know, like, I don't know that guy. it's like, you know, because you have a sports car. I don't know the other guy with a sports car, right? I know there've been some comedy bits about this and ethnic groups and other groups and things, but I sort of feel like we're all automatically lumped together. Right. So, but anyway, to answer your question, I don't know when a good time is anymore. I mean, 4 a.m. or sunrise, but but you know, even then, now there's frost, now there's ice, you know, now there's sand. You know, I had to turn around what, 4 weeks ago, and I tried to go up Mount Evans, you know, and you know, you come around one of those corners, and all of a sudden there's snow. You know, it's just Matt Farah. I think he was testing the blue McLaren that he had on recently. I'm worse with my McLaren nomenclature than I am with my BMW factory, you know, chassis codes or whatever. But maybe it's 720S or something. He, you know,
720S long tail, I think.
That's what it was.
But I have the same problem with it. They have so many different models. I can't necessarily just differentiate them.
And apparently they have wildly differing personalities too, like even if they all sort of look the same anymore. But neither one of us, I don't think, has a lot of experience with McLarens. I've never driven a McLaren of any vintage. You know, hell, I don't know that I've ever even ridden in one.
Well, there's not a deep history of vintage McLarens.
No, well, like,
and one of them is, you know, they're worth $15 million a piece. So the 570 was always the one that kind of intrigued me. There's sort of entry level one that,
yep,
that
I'm was, with you.
I like that. I've seen those a lot. I think those are interesting. Yeah. I happened to see driving around our neighborhood, I think it was a GT, one of the new McLaren GTs in all black. It was pretty, sinister looking. Even it's, you know, my wife, who's sort of a car person because of me, but doesn't really, she was further back walking with her mom, and she noticed it too without me saying anything. Yes. It's just had that presence. But
a great used car, because we all know McLarens aren't great at holding their value in a couple of years. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, they're already, I think you can pick one of those up for about the price of a GT3 or a loaded GT4. I mean, right. I mean, they start mid
the seven. I know, like the 720s from like a few years back are sort of dropping into like the 100,000 range. Yeah.
Yeah. So, they're such great cars. And I mean, talk about exact bang for the buck. I guess I'm still one of those people that's still hung up on the issues, real or perceived or, you know, imagined, whatever. But when I hear these horror stories of, you know, the MP12, I'll never get that name right. Here we go. Yeah. But, you know, you hear about the $6,000 windshield replacement or whatever. I just, that scares me a little bit. But anyway, then that's why I'm driving the Toyota of the German car. Because I like to drive. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Although I have been getting
it. That's why everyone, I feel like everyone, I shouldn't say everyone. Lots of people come into the world of Porsche because they just work and they're reliable. And
most of them. You know,
most of them. Well, but I mean,
unless you have one that doesn't.
Well, I guess, but I mean, for what they are, they're reliable. I think they just need constant, as they say on Everyday Driver, they just need constant feeding. You know, like they just need like a lot of things. But if you keep doing that, they'll be fine.
It's a symbiotic relationship. I feel like I need, you know, I need constant feeding from that car too. Like it's just we keep each other in balance.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So it feeds your soul. You just have to feed it oil and gas and tires. But
I'm really worried about the tires on this new one, Doug. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm at 750 miles. Am I going to have to replace those tires in 2000 miles? And I'm only half joking here. I'm not joking,
but you're anxious to, cause you want to get the Michelins on there anyways. You're like, you want to get rid of the disposable Pirelli tires and get,
I have the Dunlops and I actually And I was doing some research. This apparently the Dunlop tire that they're now putting on the GT3 RS and the GT4, even though it's the same in name, is a much improved version than say that we were putting on, the old GT4 or whatever. So I have absolutely no complaints about, I mean, these are certainly better tires than the Michelin 4S's I had. Of course, the trade-off is that it's got a much, much more quickly wearing, tread life. With the way these tires burn up, I mean, you better have stick. Go back to a 4S, do I need performance? Maybe I do. I don't know. You hate to like get retreat or you get the lesser tire and then, you get into trouble or something because now you're used to having this extra bit of stick and now you don't. And, I don't want that to be the reason that I stuff it or whatever, but, anyway, that's
two things I want to point out.
A new design and they're far superior. We'll see. So far,
I want to point out two things. One, that's the first time I've heard the term scintilla since I was in law school. That's a great SAT word there.
I want to be a lawyer, Doug. So maybe
I know. I read that like in an old turn of the century Supreme Court case decision. I think that term was used. So great word. Second, what's the cost difference on the Dunlops versus the Michelins?
When I checked, the Dunlops actually were selling for more than the Michelins on Tire Rack. But they're about the same, The P4S will be a little cheaper, but I don't know if they'd be cheap enough to, for me, it wouldn't even, I mean, obviously the money is an issue or whatever, but it's just the inconvenience of having to have the tires put on and the stress of, oh God, are they going to screw up the wheel this time or whatever, So it's more than just the cost, right? It's the hassle. It's the downtime. It's the, I don't think I can drive down to Porsche of Colorado Springs anymore just for things like tires and oil changes because yeah. I feel like the mileage is exponentially impactful, right, on a GT car. A lot of people would say that's wrong, that GT cars are meant to be driven and that, unlike maybe, say, some Ferraris or whatever, that the GT cars don't have the same relative impact to their residual values. But that's...
Well, I mean, that seemed to be, I mean, there's some evidence to back that up based on how the old GT4s are still holding their price. And there's a lot of them seem to be, they were 20 and 30,000 mile, examples of them, right?
So. Shocking how those have retained their value. I mean, we've talked about this before, but a good used 981, it's only $15,000 or $20,000 less than a new one. Now that I've looked at both of these cars now, spent some time with both of them, I really, really prefer the looks of the newer one. I think it's much more aggressive. I think it looks wider, lower. I'll be honest. At first, when I was shopping for one or the other, I could hardly tell the difference between the two. Of course, now I really noticed that front air dam. The newer one has sort of that split style. It's just, there's some other things. I just feel like it looks like a more modern, aggressive car. But I also probably would have been just as happy with the 981, if I'd been able to find one that wasn't, ridiculously priced across the country.
Yeah. Should we, let's see here.
You want to take a break and we'll take
a quick break and maybe just come back for a quick segment. Sure. And
do some sponsor shout outs and all the rest.
Back. Quick wrap up here. We just want to give some shout outs to our continuing sponsors, Brews Beers, here in Denver, making badass Belgian beers. Go try them.
It's the best beer, Doug. Like I don't have the opportunity to drink it that often, but when I do, I realize like this is what a beer should taste like. It is just, you and I both, we appreciate like the quality of a nice car or whatever. I mean, the Brews, the beers, Brews is sort of, okay, Dr. Seuss.
Your point. Yeah, what they brew is high quality.
The Jurton in the curtain, yeah. Doug, drinks Brews Beers, and you can just tell it's good beer. So
it's a passion project. You can tell with everything they do, from all the decisions they make on the beers themselves to all the their locations and all the high quality nature of their brews on Fax, which is a tap room near Colfax and here in Denver, and then their larger facility there up off of Pecos. It's all high quality stuff. So I like the I've been liking the Hellraiser the most. That's been my favorite. So I like that one, and I also like the they have a like a dark lager that I also like too, like a Czech lager.
I remember liking that one too.
Really well too.
I think our brews knowledge is slipping, and I think that we're probably due for another educational visit. So
that's true. Maybe we should. We'll set that up.
Computer sunglasses. We appreciate their support as well.
Yeah, absolutely. They are recklessly committed to fun, and I'm having a lot of fun. They have some new models out, some limited editions. If you're into comic books, they have a Batman, and they also have a Wonder Woman print. That's kind of neat. Nice. I grab one of each because I like to kind of collect those things, and. They also just have so many different color combinations, and they have a new line of blue tinted glasses that have come out that are designed for helping you watch screens and not damaging your eyes. So check those out. But like I said, we always challenge people to get on there and try and find a pair of sunglasses that matches your car. So we have an upcoming guest who's got a customized vehicle that I've actually been managed to find a perfect matching pair of sunglasses.
I don't even know about this. Doug, yeah. You're working away in the background here.
I'm trying to keep the pipeline alive here, but we got, it's a little different for us. It's going to be
is it the LM002?
No. It is a 4x4 though. But I've always been curious to talk with someone who actually was able to execute their own, it's basically a resto mod project. Okay. So,
all right. Well, more
than some questions for him and basically did a complete mechanical and interior restoration on this car. So
okay, I think you're going to find out what this is. Don't tell me now, but, I think if you're listening, expect more episodes more regularly. I think we've been doing about 2 episodes a month up to this point. I think we're going to try to do more moving forward
we're going to do some more, maybe some shorter ones, but more frequent. So
yeah, we've got a lot of cool guests in mind. A couple return guests. I think we're going to try some new stuff, but, appreciate everyone's listenership. We continue to grow, which is kind of amazing. Doug, we started this thing as kind of a goof. Mm-hmm. Pizza one day. Didn't think anyone would listen but us. And, now there are 3 or 4 others, which is great. Listenership now, which is fantastic. So thank you to everyone.
Exactly. We've grown to an advanced audience that's well into the dozen of people. So
Doug's being modest, but it's turned into something we didn't quite predict, and it continues to grow, and that's cool and it's exciting. And so we're gonna try to make some changes just to take this a little more seriously too. So
I hope you stay with us for that journey. So good to talk to you.
Sunglasses.
We'll leave it at that. So talk to you soon.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You know that thing you've always been too scared to go for? It seems like you'll never have the guts. Then a cancer diagnosis. And doing that thing becomes way less scary. I would know. I've always wanted a black belt. And today, the only thing standing in my way is a few wooden boards. It's been a lot of hard work and 5 years since I beat cancer at Ohio Health. Bring it on. You keep making plans.
Visit ohiohealth.com/keepmakingplans to learn more.